Well, here we go with another episode of Rethink Real Estate. And today, my primary focus is, as we dive into the planning stages of the year for 2024, is that how do you increase your average sale price? You know, it's one of the things that I probably get asked about the absolute most when it comes to planning with realtors and making sure that, you know, they are building into maybe a luxury marketplace. How do you do that? You know, and today I share with you some tips that not only how to leverage auction, but it's also leveraging certain other parts of your business as well, because there's a certain perception that you can create in your business by only one or two listings that you might bring on board. But there's a certain level of commitment to a criteria. If you're going to make the step into actually wanting to change your average sale price and get it up, increasing it, then there's a few things that you've got to think about. Today, I'll take you through that. Hopefully, it's really helpful for your planning. Welcome to Rethink Real Estate. My name is Ben Brady, and this is a real estate podcast aimed to deliver sales strategies, marketing tips, and business insights from industry experts and myself to build a listing-focused business for the future. Let's get into it. So today, as we sort of round out the year of 2023, and people are probably in different stages of their planning process. Well, I'd like to think that you are, unless you're that type of person that waits till January and is like, oh shit, I probably should do something at the moment. But the thing that I wanted to quickly sort of talk about as you're going into your planning stages for 2024 is that, you know, we're probably going to be in a marketplace that I think is going to be a little more stagnant than what we have previously seen. It's definitely not going to be probably as bad as the last 6 months, but I still think that there's going to be some waiting that happens from many, many people as interest rates come down. It'll be that waiting period until it gets down to a more reasonable number. Now, that said, is that what that's going to create is it's going to create lag on the marketplace for some higher end listings and higher price points in everybody's marketplaces. Now, I know that some people are saying that the higher end marketplace isn't seeing the effects of the interest rates. I don't see that at all. I'm seeing all price points be affected by the interest rate side of things. You know, when there's cheap money, it's easier to make decisions. It's easier to get people committed to things so that they don't have to use their cash. A lot of people are waiting and using their cash as war chests, or seeing it as war chests, thinking that, you know, winter is coming, so to speak, with different things in the real estate world, and different investment opportunities and different business opportunities in the commercial marketplace opportunities. But where I'm going with all of this is that across most of everyone's market that would be listening at this point, the higher price points are going to be sitting for longer. It has always been the case. The higher price you get, the less buyer pool that there ultimately is for many of the properties. Now, that's not to say that some move quickly, sure, but that said is that higher price point is going to sit. And when that higher price point sits, there's a distinct opportunity for our agents that are either involved with Harcourts or the agents external that are embracing auction in order to increase your average sale price through that method of prospecting. Now, if you're not familiar with auction or you're not familiar with that method of sale, no problem at all, but you should be considering the fact that relationships will be fractured at certain points of relationships or certain time points within that listing being on the marketplace as it sits for longer. Now, I believe that, you know, as I've mentioned a few times on the podcast, is I think that people's expectations coming out of the COVID marketplace that was generated over the last two odd years is that people's expectation that if it isn't sold with inside a few weeks is that then what is wrong? What is my realtor doing? And it's a little bit of a slippery slope from those points on. And what we're seeing is that most agents are very much not used to selling in days on market. It's something that was pointed out to me by one of the business owners that we have up in Oregon, and he mentioned that a lot of his agents have not ever really sold in days on market. And it's funny how I hadn't really even thought about that, but the general marketplace in general, okay, really has not sold in days on market before. And those that have done have kind of forgotten about it and don't, but like these are the same people that I'm talking about that are arguing about doing open houses again. you know, since that expectation was set that it was individual showing weekends, windows, and a lot of people that aren't really even committed to going back to the weekends of showing property or doing open houses themselves. So you're seeing less open houses, you're seeing less opportunities in general, but I think that the biggest opportunity for those that want to embrace something from by way of, you know, the auction strategy or whatever it is, this is where a great deal of people have built incredible businesses through targeting properties that are at the higher price point within their market and offering a specific solution that is auction. Now, I think that you need to take into consideration what type of prospecting this is. Now, don't get me wrong. This, I'm not talking to the person that is simply wants to cultivate their database and wants to create those warm, loving, nurturing relationships where people come back to you because they love you and they love working with you and all of those different things. I'm not talking to those people. Now, I want to be clear around something as you're doing your planning, though, in this situation. If you're an agent that's automatically shut off with the perspective of cold prospecting, you need to be very conscious of where your business is at. So for example, if you've got 300 people in your database that are C-plus leads, that people that know who you are, what you do, and you do a really, really good job of nurturing those people, you may get somewhere between 25 and 30 deals a year out of that, depending on the price point that you're ultimately at. Now, we're seeing the yield from people's database over the last 2 years actually go down. I usually use the rule of thumb with your database. It's, you know, 10% roughly of the people that know who you are and what you've done, or people that have previously used you, that will come back and will give you referrals, or they'll buy something or they'll sell something. Realistically, because of the less of turnover and people's inability to do so, we've seen returns from people's database this year be somewhere around that 6% mark. So that'll be another podcast episode that we go through a little bit more of the data and the analytics around that. But realistically, the thing that I wanted to go through with you is that if you are not cold prospecting, I don't see how your business is building. And I classify cold prospecting as even open houses, getting people's names and numbers at the front door of the house. Now, again, we've spoken about this data collaboration. One of the young guys up in Bend, Oregon that we spoke to, he didn't understand, how do I build my database? I'm like, you've got to ask people for their information when they enter the properties that you're doing open houses on, and make sure that the listings you're doing open houses on, the agent has requested in the agreement, the seller has requested that people provide their information before entering the house. So you have a legitimate reason to turn people away if they don't want to give you information. He took that to heart. He literally sits on the front porch or out the front at the moment in a chair. He does longer open houses than I would typically do, but realistically, he locks the front door with a key. Locks the front door with a key and go, and if somebody comes in, it's like, hey guys, no problem. If you want to come into the property, I just need name, phone number. Okay. And then he creates he's been able to really stockpile some really serious data, which is in essence the opportunity to mine that data and create clients for life at that point and rebuilding the business. So getting back to the real point of this is that expired listings for sale by owners, or even listings that have been on the market longer than, say, 60 days, and reaching out to those agents and seeing if they would want to partner with you with doing auction, could be a really distinct way where you can build your average sale price. I could give 100 different case studies of agents that have joined our company or agents that have adopted the auction process. Their average sale price was $600,000 and they've made that into $2, $3, $4, $5 million on the coast of California anyway, or in different marketplaces that we do auctions in, the Bay Area specifically also with those price points. I've seen it happen in Hawaii. I've seen it happen in Washington. I've seen it happen in Oregon. I've seen it happen in Canada. I've seen it happen in New York as well. And these people are going after listings that they would never typically be competitive with other agents in, because they're talking about something completely different. This is a portion of your business where if you can grab that right luxury listing, just even one of them, it will create your content also for the future. Now, so many of us think about just getting more and more listings. I think we need to think about the right type of listing. If you're moving into increasing your average sale price, one, you've got to do things a little bit outside of the norm when it comes to increasing that average sale price and prospecting for those listings by maybe getting a little bit out of your comfort zone and going after that cold prospecting. Okay, going after people using the auction strategy because it's a point of difference. Why go to a listing that is expired and then saying to them, why don't we put it back on the market traditionally? That clearly hasn't worked. Using the auction strategy that's been specifically designed for somebody in that position in order to actually then cast a different light to the market, to cast the net wider, to bring a different audience to it, or provoke the same audience to actually take action. That is the real play here. Now, if you get one of those listings, if you work on just getting one of them, and then you make an investment in that listing from the collateral, from the perspective of photos, video, making sure that then you're obviously marketing yourself around that property as well. So what I mean by that is time, okay? Taking some type of social media presence and digital marketing around that neighborhood. But where I'm going with all of this, the content that is collected from this particular property, this particular price point, this particular look can be the content for you for the future for many, many, many months. So it doesn't need, you don't need to have many, many listings in order to continue to have that luxury content. You need to have specific listings in order to then take the content out of those. You might have to invest a little bit more money in video, like I said, and maybe more photos than you would ever normally take, okay? Maybe some drone footage, maybe all of that stuff, and then get that all cut up into short content, get that all used into individual posts, get that used in some marketing collateral that then you're going to put out to your database so that it gives the depiction of your brand in a luxury sense. So again, I want to go back. First step, we're going to prospect. We're going to find that luxury price point, that higher price point property. We get the listing, okay? Then we're going to invest a little bit more money in building our collateral, okay? And making sure that that is the front of our social media, our mailer drops, our marketing material. You know, everything that we're putting out there in the public eye needs to be then branded in that way, shape, or form. I think a lot of agents think that volume impresses people. It does to some, but also it does depict your brand in a different way. It can work both ways. If you sell $300,000 properties, then all of a sudden you sell a $1.5 million property and you're promoting the $1.5 million property, some of your existing clients or some of the people in your market might not reach out to you because they don't think you deal in that market, okay? It's the same. If you're just selling you know, $300,000 properties to try and get that 1.5 million mark, those people don't really look at you within that experience range unless you have a distinct point of difference, okay? So it's all about the perception that you can create from the content that you can collect, and you don't need many, 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 many listings to do that. You can create that content and you can graduate a communication plan all the way through. So first things first, I think that in order to increase your average sale price, you definitely need to go down the path of looking at price points that aren't moving easy. It does many things for your business. One, it teaches you that cold prospecting element that gives you the level of security that you can continue to increase your business. Okay. Two, okay, is that it allows you to refine your skill set. Those expensive and those higher price listings and those difficult listings are listings where you have to refine your skill set as an agent even further. I often find the very best agents within our industry are the ones that are dealing in the difficult case studies, and that is built from going after the expireds, the for sale by owners, and that luxury price point where you have to get incredibly creative. Then from those listings and prospecting around those, you know, the open houses that are done, the data capture that you're going to create, okay, is that then also is that what content can you generate from that individual listing that then depicts what your brand is? The nature of your brand, the look of your brand, the feel of your brand can all be done through simply one listing. Just making sure that you invest into that listing in order to get some great collateral from that listing to then continue to use in your marketing material. Again, if you made a commitment that you were going to do this, you know, we've sat down and we've put a luxury plan together for an agent that wants to actually, you know, increase their average sale price. Now, they're making a serious commitment. And what I mean by that is their serious commitment is to actually not list anything and to refer properties out under a particular price point. Now, that's a really big commitment. They have a lot more financial backing than I'm assuming than a lot of people do when it comes to, you know, making this decision in their business. They're actually going to just be referring that business out, you know, at a particular price point to an agent within their office. Now, that said, is that there is a category that we then set, okay? Excuse me. Well, there's categories that a property needs to meet in order to then get the utmost investment from that agent in order to then build the collateral. So for example, they do staging on their properties, okay? They then also go down the path of, you know, multiple photo shoots, all of the things that tick the box. So if they do the staging, they design the property, the property looks a certain way, it's at a particular price point, it meets the criteria, then for that agent to then invest more money into the photos, more money into the video, more money into the marketing, more money into before and afters, more money into, you know, a video not only of the property, a video of the process of the staging of the property, the process of going through and the things that they did differently as well. Now, this is building the content from this one listing that's going to build content for at least a quarter. So their main goal is to get one property a quarter that meets the criteria that then is going to depict their brand. I want you to think about it this way. If there's an agent that you look at or that you idolize, do you see everything they do? Or do you see what they want you to see? That is the point of what I'm trying to make here, folks. One, let's increase our average sale price in your market because there's going to be distinct opportunity for you to do so where properties at higher price points are going to sit. Okay? Do that through the cold prospecting. Do that through using auction. Do that whatever way you see how or see fit. Okay? But then once you've got that property, let's let it and it meets that criteria of the way that your brand wants to be looked at. Then use that. Now, I'm not saying that you should say no to all of the other business. I'm just saying that the forward-facing elements of your business, okay, should just be that of which you're trying to build to. Okay? So if it meets the criteria, then invest the money into building the content. Getting the content that then you can send it out to your marketplace. Maybe your goal next year is to get four of those listings so that you can build a quarter worth of content out of each one of them. Maybe your goal is just to get one and see how that goes. But either way, make sure that you see the opportunities. Use auction as a leverage point to go in there and offer a point of difference. If you need more help with that, just reach out to us. Thanks so much. So about 75% of our audience hasn't liked, followed, or subscribed to our podcast. It would mean the world to us, and it would help this podcast more than you know to expand our reach if you were to like, follow, or subscribe on any of the platforms that you're watching or listening on. Thanks again.